Aloha, it is member-supported Hawaii Public Radio, all things considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence. Grateful that you're taking some time to enjoy this with me. It's a real pleasure. I'm at the Blue Note, Blue Note Hawaii through Sunday as a very special engagement. The Whalers are in town, that Whalers, led by family man Ashton Barrett, and we are pleased to have Danglin, lead vocals from the band, joining us today. How are you, my brother?
I'm great, man. Our eyes, the Almighty, we give thanks for life.
And not to be, ladies should come first, but I'm kind of moving in a direction here as we go. CG Victory, is that your last name?
It's my last name. It's a pleasure to meet you.
And a pleasure to meet you. Thank you very much for joining us mid-set tonight, too. Joshua Barrett, aloha and welcome.
Aloha, greetings and blessed love.
And laying down the bass with us this evening on stage and sounding so good, too. It was it was thumping in there. How's it feel for you? Is this the first time in Hawaii?
Yeah, this is my first time, huh?
Impressions coming from one island to another?
Well, I mean, island people are just, you know, more laid back, you know? More festive. And more just one with life and more appreciate life, you know? Most of the islands, them are very poor. But we just find a way to live up yourself.
CG, your first time in Hawaii. What's your background with the islands? Is this an exciting time? Or
the background with what?
You've been here before. Is this your first time in the islands?
My first time. I actually, like, I have my mindset on, like, a whole concept of Hawaii. But it kind of requires, like, either shuttles or just people with a car that have time to kind of indulge in my little fantasy of what I want to take away from the experience. So I think at some point someone will indulge with me and I'll find myself near, you know, Pearl Harbor and one of the volcanoes, one of the hopefully inactive volcanoes. And eventually, believe it or not, I haven't made it to the sea yet, so I kind of want to get into that. But it reminds me of I used to live in Key West, so it's like a giant version of, you know, the Keys, but with mountains.
With a breeze, we have the trade.
Yes, there we go.
It's kind of warm there in the Keys, right? It's very humid.
Very hot in the Keys, yes. But it's pretty hot, but it's yeah, it's humid.
That's Joshua, your first time in the islands?
Yes.
What do you think so far? How is it so far ranking as we've been sort of comparing it to the Keys, to Jamaica, to other locations?
Well, vibes similar definitely is like, from where we're staying, Panama left reminded me of Haiti. Of course, it reminded me of Jamaica. Like, it's country, you know, them way there, people more up for, like Danglin say, you know? So we love them energy there. We have the sea, Panama side, and, you know, just make you feel good.
This is a band that's obviously strongly associated with Jamaica. It's been a long time since the origins of the band, and so many kinds of music has come, gone, and in Jamaica, no different. There's been a lot of different flavors have happened there. I've been to Jamaica only once. I was in Negril. I really enjoyed it. Spent a week there. When you think of Jamaica today and its relationship to the Whalers, how is the band embraced or thought of? Is it sort of like classic rock might be in the U.S.? If you can kind of describe the way the Whalers fits into the music culture of Jamaica today as you see it or experience it.
Well, the Whalers is the pinnacle of reggae music. And it defines Jamaican culture because Rastafari and reggae music define the culture of Jamaica. That is why the island is so popular, because of those two things. So there is no separating the Whalers from Jamaican culture and the legacy of Jamaica. So once you say Jamaica, you say Whalers, and vice versa. Once you say Whalers, you say Rastafari. So all these things are intertwined together and can never be separated. You know? Only those who are ignorant are those who are blinded by current events, are mostly popularity, wouldn't really be able to appreciate or to see the balance and the relevance with the Whalers to Jamaica and just to the Rastafari movement. So as long as Rastafari, reggae music, Jamaica and all these things exist, then they always are going to exist as a trinity. You can't separate, you know?
I'm getting the feeling what you're saying is there is still an appreciation on the roots level, and those are the kind of cats who still come out in Jamaica when the Whalers return and who still appreciate the music in general like that.
Well, I mean, the foundation is always, the root is always relevant to the branches and the fruit. So the root is where the branches and the fruit manifest from. So without the Wailers, there would be no reggae music, really. If you think about it, the reggae music was made popular by Bob Marley and the Wailers. So you have to really know that this is the pinnacle. This is where the source where people go to for find out how the music's supposed to sound.
You still remember when you first exposed to it?
Well, that exposed to it from conception, man. From in a mother womb, you're exposed to reggae music because that is what them listen to on the radio every day. Radio is very popular in Jamaica, you know, like in America and certain different places. They listen to the radio while they're at work or while they're driving. In Jamaica, everybody listen to the radio at home, listen to the radio on the street corner. You see a man just out on the road, him have him look at radio, listen to, you know, him look at radio with him look at antenna, listen to the radio. So you always have people in Jamaica listen to radio, and reggae music is what we listen to. So every baby in the womb, you know, him rock roots, reggae, him know them songs a long time.
Yeah, they're all indoctrinated to it. It's just a part of life. There's no question that it's got to be a very strong force there. You know, you have the role of singing some very positive songs. When you think about the catalog, the lyrics that come up, it's a very decidedly positive message. Do you feel like a sense of responsibility at times when you're carrying this legacy forward, presenting it to folks?
Absolutely. I feel like everything is... there is a spiritual connection, and this is why I tell people we often feed off the audience the same way we give. We feed off of it, and that's because, you know, you go into it with good intentions. You go into it with the hopes that, you know, everyone who's come there from whatever struggle it is, whether it's a job that you really hate reporting to every day, whether it's a family struggle, what, you know, you never really know who left their house and or what's
where they're coming from.
Yeah, and your hope, our hope, and our intention is to make sure you leave feeling better than you came. Mm-hmm. So at the same time, the way we can do that is we're open. We go on that stage as open vessels. So we also feed off of the audience's energy. So we tend to like try to find that like that heartfelt connection in the audience. So some people just come in, have the most warm, you know, nurturing connection with you, and you kind of like lock into that as a performer. So that way you can now, you know, feed off of that energy and then hopefully like exude it to the person that didn't necessarily come with that, and they can leave with it and leave in a more positive state of mind than, you know, they came in with.
You're describing something very real, and that is that people are coming from not only all their own moods that they arrive in, which can be really different, but a lot of different backgrounds and how folks connect with this music, too, because it is sort of it's a real classic form all over the world. As Danglin was saying, it's not, it's huge. It has certain epicenters, but in general, it's kind of the music that Bob Marley and the Wailers made speaks to people on a very personal level and a deep one. Did you have a spiritual sort of background before getting to do this for a living with these guys?
I did. I started off in performing arts with my background is Trinidadian. So my start into performing in general was with Something Positive Dance Company. And it focuses on like the Afro-Caribbean culture. So again, that is another place where I've learned to be responsible with your energy and make sure that you're responsible in receiving energy from people. So like a lot of times you'll see somebody that's just not on a good level, and it is your responsibility on how you approach or whether you approach or not, you know. And so I kind of learned that at a baby stage. I started dancing at 5. So we learned at an early state, you know, to be responsible with that and to appreciate it and to, you know, have respect for it. And so I carried that with me in coming in this situation, because again, we're all kind of strangers to each other. Didn't know him before I came here. Didn't know this guy before I came here either. Neither one of them knew me. So we all have that responsibility to know that you're going to meet different individuals. You're going to be, you know, you're going to interact with different backgrounds and different spiritualities and different religions and this, that, and the other. So it's a respect thing as well. And, you know, it all coincides. This is, you know, it's songs that we manifest every night that kind of remind you as well to, you know, have that respect for those boundaries and understand your brethren and your sistren. And, you know, so it we do get a reminder every night. The set list is always a reminder. It doesn't matter if right before the show something happens, right before you come to the venue. It usually isn't us amongst us. It does have to do, whether it's the airport or, you know, just, you know, we walk here every night. So you never know who you're going to interact with, who's going to encounter you, who's going to stop you and say what. So, you know, it's just, like I said, it's that responsibility. It's a strength as well. And most of us pray for that strength to kind of hone in on that positivity and just, you know, be real strong with it and put that first and, you know.
There's a lot of lessons, textbook lessons in life in those lyrics that those guys came up with. And what you said is very powerful. It's a big reminder, and it can give you strength too when you're down and kind of pull you back. Because I think that throughout life, speaking for myself at least, I know that that's what Bob's music has been in so many situations. And it's weird when you find yourself like, wow, you know, music pulls you through at times. Joshua, she said something really cool about, you're a vessel. You know, when you start to get into spirituality at all, at whatever point in your life, it could be really late in your life, and you start to think of yourself as an entity that's temporarily in this vessel of your body. So it was like when CG said that, it really struck a nerve with me. And on that note of spirituality yourself, you're in a band that is really representing a spiritual approach to music and life in so many ways. It's sort of what we've been talking about as a group here together. On your own contribution to the band and what you get out of it, can you talk about how you connect with it on a spiritual level and perhaps some of the whole culture that's embodied by the Wailers?
Well, sure. Good question. The essence of the Wailers' music is given to us by the example of, in person of, Emperor Haile Selassie I of Ethiopia and Empress Menen, you know, and through that dynasty, which is a dynasty perpetuated from King Solomon and Queen of Sheba. So many of the lessons where you hear Bob Marley, Peter Tosh, Bunny Wailer, all those from them times and now who sing about it is that perspective. The spirituality comes from the essence of our religion, where not just religion, but Ethiopia give the world science, religion, arts, everything. So it's not for say we alone as Ethiopian ascendants have a contribution, but it, with respect to everybody's growth and development and everybody's journey now, we are looking again to Ethiopia as the helm, because the spiritual aspect of it is the fact that the struggle, you know, we are carried a struggle, which is truth and rights, equal rights and justice. So that make us in a way like, yes, we do have a great responsibility, because when you see the emperor go around and empress, they go about doing good works, build school, hospital, and that is Rasta aims and objectives, that the naked clothed, the hunger fed, the sick nourished, the aged protected, the infants cared for, and the ignorant instructed. And that is part of our mission, to educate ones and ones. Someone have a different job. The next man is a carpenter. The next woman, the sister, is a teacher. But all of we play a part. You know, we're just blessed to be able to not just sing the message, but true be a conduit, because it have to internalize first so that we can represent that imperial dignity, the same as his and her imperial majesty Emperor Haile Selassie I and Empress Menen. You know?
I like it.
It's great to talk about that stuff, because a lot of artists, you don't really get the chance to dig into it. So you can probably tell I enjoy it, and it's fun to get to talk with you. And I would add to what you're talking about, there's also, as you get older, you realize the responsibility to the earth, to the animals. They don't really have a voice, you know, they are on the edge of extinction. They have people hunting them for their horns, like rhinoceros, or elephants for their tusk. And you realize, you know, and that's the kind of thing that few bands, the Wailers being one of them, every night. When you said that, it's kind of like, you know, the message, song after song, no matter where you're coming from or people in the audience, there's a reminder of the right way forward. And I just appreciate that in the middle of your show, on your first night here, you take time to talk with me. And I hope that the rest of the week is a really good one for you. But on behalf of myself, all the people at Hawaii Public Radio who will hear this, thanks for joining us and sharing a little bit of your message as the Whalers today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Pleasure. God bless. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. Haile Selassie, the first. Honorable Marcus Mosiah Gyawe. Robert Nestor Marley. Positive vibrations. Yeah, man.